So the church that James is writing to, he's giving quite detailed instructions, isn't he? He's laying out the law. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. So detailed instructions about the way we should live as God's people. And as we look at this section of the letter, James is going to address a vital issue, a vital understanding, which is this law, verse 25, the perfect law that gives freedom. And I think to grasp the significance of this little chunk of the passage, we've got to work out what not obeying the law does to societies, to communities, to churches, to families. Because when we are living in rebellion against God, with genuine rebellion in our hearts against God, saying, we will not go your way, we will do it our way, the result is fragmentation, division, isolation, loneliness. And that's the word that is beyond my heart for the last couple of weeks. And it shouldn't be any surprise that it's been reported that Britain is now the loneliness capital of Europe, with its inhabitants less likely to overall to know their neighbours or have a strong sense of community than anywhere else in the European Union. There are over 7 million one-person households, which is about 13% of the population, and the highest concentration are amongst young professionals in London. 51% of young professionals living alone and lonely. I'm beginning to pick it up on social media, in conversations with people. It's not a situation that is uniquely a problem or a situation for the elderly, which is what is often reported. But if you look in our reading at the end of verse 27, James says, the religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows. The lonely, those who are unable to look after themselves. So there's a whole sort of grasp here of what it means to be a community, but it's based around this community of the perfect law that gives freedom. It's a strange, strange way of putting things, because our culture, if you think of any pop song about freedom, the freedom is talked about is always a freedom to express myself any way I choose. The Happy Mondays sang a song while I was at university, I'm free to do what I choose. Or Aretha Franklin, Freedom. All about freedom of my life. And so when you start saying that the perfect law brings freedom, that seems to be a contradiction in our terms, because if I'm told that I should be quick to listen, Neil, you speak far too much, you should be much quicker to listen, then it feels like a restriction on me. It says, well, why can't I just keep speaking? Or you should be slow to speak, slow to become angry. Well, why can't I just express my anger? Either vocally and angrily, or just by being quiet and passively aggressive, whichever way I want to express my anger. Why am I not free to do that? So the law that James lays down in his letter, he says, brings freedom. It's not a restriction on our way of living, it's freedom. How does this compute? How does this relate to us today? How do we understand that God's law is perfect and that it brings freedom? How can we tell our friends who want to just go and do it, the Nike logo, just do it, is perhaps the logo of motto of our generation? How can we commend to people, you know what, the law of God brings freedom? You get blank expressions. Well, let's see if we can help each other tonight to get to the bottom of this. you know what it's like when you're in a room with someone who just keeps talking and talking and talking and who won't listen? They're free. But what do you want to do? You want to leave the room. You want to get away, don't you? You're bound by their talking and not listening. What about the person whose friend has not spoken to them for 3 months because they're angry? The person who's angry is free to express their anger, but the person who is the object of that anger isn't free. Feels trapped, feels guilty, feels doesn't know what to do. What about the family where everyone cowers in the corner because one person's anger is volcanic? Treading on eggshells. Am I going to upset them now? The person who expresses their anger is free, but the people in the house aren't. Controlled by that anger. So when we start to think of it that way around, we realise that when God gives us his laws to restrict us, the restrictions he puts on us are for the freedom of other people. So, if I am restricted in the amount of words I say in any conversation, you're free to be able to contribute to the conversation. If I'm restricted in having to listen carefully, then you're free to speak. So the freedom that comes is not a freedom for me, it's a freedom for you. But as I exercise the restraints that God puts on my life by his law and free you up, and then you put the restraints on your life that he puts on you by law, then I become free. So the freedom becomes a mutual thing, but it starts with the restrictions of the law, the way we are to behave, the way that we're to do, and there people come together in community. There's trust builds, and as sense of love builds, because knowing that someone will listen to me, be quick to listen to me, and slow to speak into my situation, or slow to get angry if I've done something wrong, that trust thing gets built, the love gets built, the community comes together, and James starts to address how the church lives. And that's why he says get rid of all moral filth and the evil that's prevalent. Humbly accept the word of God planted in you, the instructions of how to live, which can save you. Of course, that word is also the living word of faith in Jesus Christ that saves. So do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Follow the instructions. Put them into action, says James. Don't just be hearers, but doers of the word. Because we all know what we look like, and this is where the word becomes a mirror to us. He says, you look at your face in the mirror, and then you go away. Well, the word of God is like that mirror. You look at the word of God, it reflects on us. We become reflective. We think, oh yeah, that's not how I'm living. I should live this way, not that way. But if we look into the perfect law, verse 25, and then continue to do the things which we shouldn't do, and forget what we've heard, there's no blessing. The man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he's heard, but doing it, will be blessed in what he does. Oh Lord, why do I forget when I look in the mirror of your word? Why am I so slow to listen and quick to speak and quick to become angry? Knowing that my anger doesn't bring about the righteous life that you desire, God, verse 20. So we can take any one of God's laws and say, here's how it brings freedom. So this week we were helping clear some of Eileen's things from her flat, and Kev and I were there with Delphi and Chris, and we met one or two of the neighbours, and the neighbours were telling us about how two of their neighbours had left their back door open and been burgled while they slept on Cottage Walk. And one neighbour seemed to be quite blasé, really, about what had happened. You know, the burglars had reached over her in her armchair while she was sleeping and stolen stuff, and she just kind of gone with it. Another one had been more paralyzed with fear. But the community now has a fear built in because somebody has stolen through two open doors. So the fear there is now, oh, I can't leave my door open, especially at night. But the perfect law brings freedom. If none of us steals from each other's houses, we can go to bed at night and not worry about the doors being locked. The perfect law brings freedom. And I want to read you a story that came in this week, just to finalise this little bit, because our missionaries, our link missionaries in Thailand, Jason and Tracy, have written to us. And this shows the power of freedom by one person keeping the law in an entire, the law of God in an entire nation. This is Jason and Tracy live in Nepal, in Thailand. They used to live in Nepal, and they still get updates from Nepal about what's going on in the country. And they write this. They said, we've had some shocking news from Nepal, and it's shocking in a good way. She said, we recently heard this from friends returning to Nepal. It's a huge surprise for us that there is no longer any load shedding. Load shedding is effectively power cuts that they send electricity to one region and another region, and they share the electricity out. And they said the electricity supply has been getting reduced for the last 12 years until the point there was no daily electricity in Nepal for 12 to 14 hours a day. But now, within 6 months, there's now a constant supply of electricity to everybody in the country. So 12 years ago, load shedding started with 2 hours a day. Each year it increased until the worst point was 18 hours a day. And according to the government, the reason for load shedding was a lack of water for hydropower. There wasn't enough rain on Nepal. There were also too few hydropower facilities and an increased demand from electricity from the big cities. The load shedding increased, so then many people bought generators to supply their own electricity. But last year, the new CEO of the Nepal Electricity Authority, a Mr. Kalmun Gaising, when he was appointed, within 6 months of his appointment, he had worked out that there was plenty of electricity to supply the whole of Nepal, and it was only greed and corruption that had caused the years of load shedding. During those 12 years, the electricity was sold to big industries in Nepal and India, leaving little for the general population. Business people sold generators and solar power systems, who then made a profit of selling these backup generators. 2,000 people have now been fined large sums of money for what they've done wrong, but sadly no one was arrested. And one can only imagine the feeling of anger towards the government and the many businessmen who made the country suffer for so many years. The people who died in hospital when generators failed. People who were burned alive in fires in their homes because they had no way to light or give themselves heat. Many small businesses that closed as it was impossible to do business without electricity. Families collapsing under the strain. Thousands of Nepalese who left the country to work overseas and make a living. Those with money could buy backup systems, but most Nepali people were unable to afford to do so, and therefore struggled all those years. All it took was one man to be honest and lack greed and corruption to bless the whole nation. Please pray. Please pray against corruption in the powerful places in Nepal. That man was free, the power he had, to carry on the corruption, to carry on the greed, to make himself wealthy, and instead he restricted himself, and in doing so blessed the whole nation. Isn't that amazing? The law of God brings freedom. And we've got to commend it, brothers and sisters, to our nation as we draw together with the law of God as our guide. He will bless us. But the blessing isn't for us individually, it's for other people. The freedom's for others, the blessing's for others, but in doing so we bless one another. James is so clear on this. So clear. If anyone considers himself, verse 26, if anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. Religion that God the Father accepts as pure and faultless as this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. What a challenge for us. Being restricted is one thing. The law brings that restriction that brings freedom to others. But then it's bigger than that. It's thinking of the needs of others. It's saying, God, there's an orphan in my midst, or a widow in my midst, or somebody who's hungry, or someone who's thirsty or needing clothed. The law of God extends beyond just restriction into generosity, into concern for others, into compassion and into charity, and to be kept from being polluted by the world. What a statement. We're not wrestling enough, are we, with the fact that every day that pollution flows into our living rooms through televisions. All the values, all the just do it attitude of our culture, the freedom attitude, all the just go and satisfy yourselves, go and accumulate as much as you can accumulate, go and have as much fun as you can have, go and just do what you freedom, do what you want to do. All that comes in day after day after day, and it militates against the message of the gospel, which is to keep ourselves from being polluted by the world. To live such different lives of restraint and such different lives of compassion and care. And we aren't doing it, are we? We're living like the world. I know I am. Come to church on a Sunday, go and do assemblies on a Monday, have meetings, do children's work. All those things are good, they're necessary. But how much more could we do? How much more if we took James chapter 1 to heart tonight? And said, look, there's lonely, lonely people in our community. They go to work all day, they come home at night, and they sit in front of the television, and are polluted by the world. What are we going to do, church? What are we going to do? Let's pray. Lord, help us to hear you, to be listeners tonight, to look intently into your word as we've done tonight, but not to leave here and forget what we've heard, but to put it into practice. Lord, we thank you for every time that you've moved us to be obedient to your law, the perfect law that brings freedom. And we're sorry, Lord, for the times that we're stubbornly rebellious. We know what you're calling us to do, and we don't do it. Have mercy on us, Lord. Have mercy on us and help us to live our lives as your people in this place, collectively. Blessing each other with freedom. By being obedient to your word, but also, Lord, going beyond that into extreme compassion, generosity, kindness, breaking down barriers, overcoming loneliness, fulfilling the needs of those around us, Lord, that we'd be such a bright light in this community. Oh, Lord, help us to be saved from the pollution of a world that's all about location, 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 or possessions, fun and entertainment. Lord, we know those things are necessary, but not to live for. Help us to live for you. More and more, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.